2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, which is encouraging words to all. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We are those that, yes, are seeking to continue to be firmly grounded in the faith that we have in our Savior Christ Jesus, recalling what we have learned, but also continuing to grow with learning more about the Savior, more about our Heavenly Father who loves us, who loves all of His creation. And so we continue to worship Sunday mornings, Wednesday here in the season of Lent. We have a 5:30 worship service, and this week, following our worship service, I hear that there is a lasagna meal planned from the Pew Sisters, and so a gathering and fellowship opportunity, encouraging one another. There are other Bible studies. This week we will meet on Wednesday morning for a study in the Psalms, and following our worship services, we have both studies for youth and adults so that we can continue to be encouraged in our faith and grow in it. So, in order to help us do so this morning and as we gather together in worship, we are following the order of Matins on page 219, and I invite you to stand as we make our beginning. Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
After lies.
but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in our heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
I invite the congregation to be seated as we hear these wonderful words of inspiration from our choir.
Thank you. from Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 to 24.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all of the land of Egypt. The magicians tried their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to the Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with the empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Our gospel this morning comes from St. Luke, the 11th chapter. "Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, 'He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons.' While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of the person,
It passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and spoke to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered for the sins of his people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is a propitiation for our sins. I invite the congregation to be seated, and if we have children present, you may come forward at this time for our children's message. Good morning, boys and girls. It is a good morning. I'm going to ask that our slide projector go back just one slide, actually two. And we have what is called a responsory. And this one is our Lenten responsory. And this is something that we use during this season of Lent. Parts of our worship service are designed to help us focus on what is most important. In our responsory, the pastor has a part and then the congregation has a part, right? And that's kind of how our responses go. Kind of like when I say good morning, you guys respond, and your good response would be to say good morning back, right? And so we're doing this back and forth. And we even do that as we worship. And there are times where the pastor is speaking to you on behalf of God and helping remind you of what blessings God has. And today's responsory, we have such a really important lesson. I wanted to go back to it. I talk about an advocate. Do you guys know what an advocate is? Somebody who is going to try to help and bring you help for the situation that you have, a situation that you need help getting out of. Sometimes your parents are your advocates. Sometimes it's other people who might be advocates for you. But when it comes to the relationship that you have with God, and the needs that you have, and you have a need to be cleansed from all of your sin, who is your advocate?
God.
Well, yes. God, in the sense that God is the three persons of the Trinity, but there's one part of God that we really say is our advocate, and it's Jesus. Jesus is the one who came and died for you. And so when we have this response, you see where the congregation says, you know, the pastor, I say he's the advocate, Jesus. He is the one who is the propitiation, which means he is the one who paid the price for you. And then the congregation says the words that you can read with me that are right in the center of the screen. It says, he was delivered up to death, right? He died on the cross. He was delivered, why? For the sins of the people, for you and for me. And that's the response that we have. We hear that Jesus is the one who God sent. And then we, the congregation, says, yes, it was delivered to death and for the sins of the people. And because he was delivered, we are forgiven. And that's where that second line, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is put away. Since your sins have been forgiven, my sins have been forgiven, what future do you and I hope and trust in because of Jesus? What's our future? Because Jesus died, was the advocate, delivered to death, delivered for the sins of the people. What is our future hope that we have? Is the hope that we get to go to lunch? No. Is it a hope that we get birthday presents on our birthday? No, it's an even greater hope, isn't it, right? What is the hope that you and I share with other Christians? What are we looking forward to? I know there's a lot of things that keep you guys occupied. Maybe. Do you think we should ask some of the adults here what is their hope that they believe they share with other Christians? Heaven, right? Life everlasting with God our Father, heaven. That is our hope. And so these words today remind us that we have been delivered from death. We have life waiting for us in Jesus. No longer do our sins count against us, but we have that life everlasting. So I invite you, fold your hands with me as we thank God for the assurance that he gives to us, the assurances that we have in our worship service. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. To pay for all of our sins. By his death on the cross. Please help me. Always trust in him. And look forward to the life. That you have set before me. Life with you without sin. Without death and without the devil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up and for reviewing with me those very important words from our worship service. We now have other words that we're going to share in as we sing the next hymn, and I will allow you to have these as you go back and join your church family. Amen. This morning's sermon is based upon the text from Luke chapter 11. Luke begins the gospel with these words, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." Yes, Luke wants the gospel and wrote it so that you and I might have the assurances in what we have been taught concerning Jesus. The accounts of what occurred, the recorded words of Jesus, come from eyewitnesses to what Jesus said and did. We are not dealing with hearsay. This is not one of those telephone games gone wrong. You know the one I'm talking about? Where if I tell and whisper to the front pew and they whisper all the way to the back, is that going to be correct in the back? Oh boy, that's... It's often very comic to sit there and know what they started at and then to hear what the ending, and it's like, how in the world? But no, that's not the case. Luke, he's gotten it from the people that were there, that recall from memory. He hears and he knows the story of Jesus, how he was born a virgin, born of a virgin birth to Mary, how he ministered to the people proclaiming the kingdom of God, how he healed the sick and diseased, how he even raised the dead. And all this was done according to God's plan, so that you and I would be delivered from death, so that we might be set free from our sins. Luke records how the Son of God came to take away the sins of the world by dying on the cross of Calvary, bearing all sins that you and I committed, so that we would be able to stand before God in holiness. He records this so that you would be certain that you are on the correct foundation, building your hope and trust. But Luke is writing this. Paul had others write for him because there are those that doubt Jesus is the Son of God. As we've heard recently about the seed that is cast and sown, there are those that are like the seed that's been cast on the path where the devil immediately snatches and takes away. There are those where the seed has been cast in the rocky soil and it does not have deep roots, but it's burned up quickly by the scorching heat of the world, the troubles that we face in this world. Today's gospel, we see how that seed has been scattered. And we see how some of it has been scattered on the road and is immediately snatched up by the devil. Some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They doubt him. They doubt even what they are seeing. similar to the Old Testament lesson where Pharaoh has all these gnats and then his magicians can't do it. His magicians even tell him, this is by the hand of God. But Pharaoh, nah, whatever. I don't believe, I will not let these people go. Doubt. We see it even today when others hear the word of the Lord. Satan does work hard to create that doubt. Oh, is that really God's word, or is that just some individual writing? A story concocted by these individuals because they had an agenda. The answer is plain and quite clear. Jesus, earlier in Luke, has already given assurances to John the Baptist in chapter 7. John is wondering, are you the one or should we wait for someone else? Jesus' words to John's disciples are, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. You might as well add, he cast demons out to that list. For certainly all those things that they were to report to John, and this addition of casting out demons, point to Jesus being who he is, the very Son of God. The one that, yes, they were to expect. The one that you and I need for our salvation. And so, we have here in Luke chapter 11, those that think, oh, he's doing this by Beelzebub. There it is, right before them, the proof that they want, that this is the one that God has sent to be their Savior. And what do they do with the proof? Oh, immediately they discredit it. And so Jesus speaks to them about a kingdom. Can a kingdom stand when it is divided against itself? And the answer is no. How can Satan's kingdom stand if Satan is fighting in and amongst himself? It's going to crumble. And then he says these words, which are in a way comedic. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? If their sons are casting out demons in Jesus or in the name of God, and they believe their sons, but they don't believe Jesus, then whose are their sons being cast out if he's the one by it's like I say, it's kind of ironic. If they can do it and you're going to give God the credit, why do you not give God the credit when I do it? The blindness that some people are willing to live with. It's right there for them, the proof that they seek, and yet they want more proof. He doesn't give them the proof that they seek by way of a miracle, but rather the proof that they need by way of the cross. Jesus demonstrates, yes, he is the one that God sent by fulfilling what God desired for him to do, to lay down his own life, not to set himself up in a kingly palace over the people, but rather in humility, fulfilling his Father's will, redeeming all creation by going to the cross. He is the strong man who has defeated Satan by the cross, where he shed his blood, he gave his very own life to pay for all the sins of the world. He is the victor. He has cast out the demons. He has hurled them far away. He is the one to trust in. And so he speaks these words, words that are meant to encourage and words that are meant to also to cause those with blind eyes to pause and think about what Jesus has said. How that once that evil spirit has been cast out, it goes out and searches for a place to rest once more. And finding none, it says, I will return to the house from which I came. And it brings with it even more and worse demons and evil spirits than itself. And that person then finds themselves worse than they were first off. Those are like those people who have heard the word of God, and those roots in the rocky soil do not go deep. They're immediately filled with joy, but then the cares of this world are the scorching heat that dry up the plant, and it is worse off for them. But for you and for me and for all who hear God's word, we are blessed, especially when we seek to keep it. A woman cries out, hearing Jesus' words, saying, well, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. Blessed is the person who's connected to you because of your birth. We even hear Mary speak of her blessedness in the singing of the Magnificat when we sing it in our Vesper services. And yet, the blessings are greater than just being part of the family here on earth. Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear his word. Luke tells us in his book that we call Acts how Jesus encourages the disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These are words of Jesus that you and I hear and are also looking to keep. That we who have heard his words would share those good news with others so that they would hear his words and keep it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 5 are the words of God, which tell us, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are called by our Lord and Savior to hear his words, to speak boldly that yes, Jesus is the Son of God who came into the world to save me and you from all of our sins. He loves you, and we see that in his going to the cross, forgiving all of our sins, washing us clean in a way that we never could accomplish on our own. And so we gather together in his name to hear and keep his word, to faithfully encourage and stir one another up in our faith and love and good works, to spread that message here, Park Falls, Wisconsin, America, and to the ends of the world, so that all would have the hope of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Hear and keep God's word. This is what makes you truly blessed. It is God and his word, which are of our utmost importance, which call us to focus upon them, to dedicate our lives to having them always before us, hearing and keeping God's word. Yes, it's blessing to be part of a family, especially a Christian family where we hear God's word. But it is a true and greater blessing to hear his word and keep it, to hear of salvation through Jesus, and to keep it firmly in our hearts, to let it be there, to let it flow in and through us to others, because that is where God works to bring blessings, through you and me. May God work mightily in you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing the Te Deum.
You, O God. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory.
The Lord is coming and the
ushers will put together our tithes and offerings. That you would give to all people concord and peace, to preserve our lands from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all the people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with children and all mothers with infant children increased happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all. And we especially ask for your comfort for the family and friends of Aaron Weaver. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we ask that you would help us to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanders, and to turn their hearts to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers on behalf of all and for the needs that they have. Lord, in your mercy, we continue with the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all of our doings, being ordered by your governments, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. At this time, the choir will be coming up to sing, actually our closing hymn, and so we will do our concluding and benediction and then listen to them as our final closing words. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please be seated.
See you.